you, because that love gives us life, that love gives us light, that love gives us protection, that love gives us provision, that love gives us strength, that love gives us healing. Thank you, because out of that love, Lord, we are who we are, more like you, because as you are, so are we in this world. Thank you, because that love is growing us up. That love is that fertilizer wherein we are growing, wherein we are growing, wherein, oh Lord God, we are glowing, wherein we are becoming more like you. Thank you again, because out of that love, we have all that we need. In that love, we have protection. Thank you, because in that love, we have light. Because he that walks in love, walks in light. He that does not love his brother, walks in darkness. He gropes in darkness and does not know where he's going. Thank you, because by that love, we are loving our brethren. Thank you again, because by that love, we are loving all men. We worship you, Lord Jesus, King of glory. You are the one that displayed that love. You came from heaven to earth to show that love by your words, by your works, by your lifestyle, by your example, by your humility, by your death, by your suffering, by your crucifixion, by your death, by your resurrection and your ascension, and your ever living to make intercession for us, saving us to the very uttermost. We love you, Lord Jesus, because you first loved us. Thank you, because by your love, you laid down your life for us and you shed your blood for us. We love you, Lord Jesus. A wonderful Lord, Holy Spirit, thank you, because you're the third person of the Godhead. By you, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. And this love is reality, because you're the Spirit of reality, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of joy, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of light, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of the King of glory. Yes, thank you, because you are quickening our hearts, you are quickening our bodies, you are helping us to understand the love of God. And that love is changing us. That love is making us more like him. That love is helping us not to walk in lack, not to walk in darkness, but to walk in light. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit, for that which you've done. Thank you for that which you'll do this evening, even as we hear your word. The word will transform us, it will purify us, it will cleanse us, it will encourage us, it will strengthen us. Lord, it will provide. Lord God, it will do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think. We worship you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you and welcome you, Lord Holy Spirit, for all that you will do in our lives, in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name,
amen.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Let's take our seats in the presence of the Lord. Like to welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus, Zion, Syphilis. Let's turn to our neighbors and our friends. Say you are blessed. You're welcome in the name of Jesus. Good to see you. Truly, the love of God will increase in your life. You will not leave this place the same way you have come in. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God for the rains. It's also the blessing of the Father and out of the hearts of love. And so we welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus and our parents and the Lord, Pastor and Mommy, to Zion's Fellowship. Let's give God a clap offering to our parents and the Lord, and for our parents and the Lord, Pastor and Mommy. We thank God for their lives. You know, Zion Stiff Fellowship is the campus outreach arm of this blessed and beloved local church of God, pastored by Pastor Luby Johnson and Mommy Sarah Luby Johnson. And we trust that by his mercy and grace, thank you. It's good to honor, you know, the Bible says we should honor, you know, those that are in authority over us, those that labor in the word and the place of prayer. And we trust that, like we always pray. And it was Paul that prayed that prayer. He said that, that I may know that I have not shown or labored in vain. And I pray that by his mercy and grace, they will know, as they see the fruit of the word of God and fruit of prayer and answers to prayers in our lives, they will know that they have not shown or labored in vain in Jesus' name. Zion's fellowship will not be in vain in Jesus' name. It will produce men and women, boys and girls, that will love God, that will know who they are in Christ, and they will fulfill it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to go straight into the word. You know, the time of Bible study. And Prof is going to be ministering. You know, Prof is not here physically. But out of the hands
praise
of
the Lord.
Wait now. out of a heart of love. See, Prof has already connected. He has gone ahead. And so Prof has sent this beautiful message all the way, you know, from Europe. And his heart is here, as you know, he's still receiving and downloading for us in Zion City Fellowship. The title of today's message, let me just go ahead, is Mercy for Victorious Christian Living. Say mercy for victorious Christian living. So we're going to listen to Prof, and at the end, as God leads us, we'll have a time of build up and interaction. But I want you to listen attentively. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can roll the movie.
Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Bless you for today. This is the day the Lord has made. Meet in Jesus' name. Just come with me. I come under the apostolic and prophetic anointings of my fathers, under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic fathers of the church age, and under you, the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. So have the to minister your word. I pray you grant me unction to minister the word with accuracy, with clarity, with simplicity, and with the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit. I pray clear channel in the heavenlies, to which mother know for the life and power of God. Lord, to break yokes, to heal bodies, to meet, to bring glory to the name. Bless my let our hearts. For I let the word of God mission in our wills, our mortal body circumstances. In the name of Jesus, the Spirit and the word. Waters. Help us to be more conformed to your image, bringing glory to your name, in the name of Jesus. Father, we are not against the effect of fervent delivery and receiving of the word. And so under the covenant of my fathers, not every foul spirit of distraction, intimidation, offense, mind one, belief and such like, including human spirits in alliance with the devil, or because such contrary foul spirits we cast or to resist and end you later over our hearts, bodies, as a name. We use the angels of God, seven spirits of God, to be an excuse perfect. Thank you and abundantly, more than which we ask, not think, according to your power that is at work within us. Thank you, Father, because in Jesus' name we've prayed. And praise the Lord. Good to again, Zion City Fellowship, our fathers, Pastor Libera, for their prayers and for the covering of us, and for the prayers that I know on for this meeting. I thank Pastor Laulu for how he has been shepherding Zion City Fellowship, and I miss you all. Today I'll be talking about mercy for a victorious then life, mercy for glorious. I want us to read, and as the main text today, Luke chapter 18, Luke from verses 9 to 14. Read, take this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. As two men went up and put pray, the one a Pharisee and a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, will not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, as verse 14, man, as the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be praised, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Praise the Lord. Now, this is a story we many of us know, publican, the Pharisee rather, the Bible described thus with himself. The publican would not even have the boldness to lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote himself and said, God have mercy upon me. Remember what the man of God said years ago. He said, some Christians pray prayers while some Christians pray to God. They are both praying. A sect is going through the motions and actually see prayers going on. They pray prayers, but some pray to God. And here we actually have two depicting two sets of people praying. One went home more justified than the other, the Bible tells us. Like Pastor always exhort us with the grace of revelation knowledge. He said, this is better. Better is this. Better is this. It is better to dwell on the house of a rooftop than with a quarrelsome woman in the house. Better is a oxen. Low food where love is than an oxen where hatred is. So I'm pastor always say, but what is best? When we look at this tree, it says the publican went to more justified. But what is the most justifiable basis for the two? Now the publican started with a cry for mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He came with honesty and humility of heart. And he went home. Now, as Pastor taught us in the seven pillars of wisdom, honesty and humility of heart is pillar number one. What we see the Pharisee do is that the Pharisee is trying to do pillar numbers 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 without pillar number one. So the most justifiable situation to be is to do all the pillars starting from pillar number one. So what the Pharisee was trying to do to pray, he was saying, I pray, I fast, I give. All those are important and they should not be done away with, but never be done without the attitude of mercy. So we actually see that there is something to learn both from the Pharisee and the publican. The publican started with a meek and lowly heart. The Bible says, a broken and a contrite spirit God will not despise. So whether as a sinner or even as a saint or even in our righteousness, when we start praying, when we start trying to solve a problem, when we start any endeavor, let's start with meekness, let's start with humility, start with lowliness of heart, let's start with brokenness, depending on God, putting down past history, putting down past victories, putting down past achievement, and declaring with our intention of heart that we need God afresh, declaring with a sense of purpose that without God we can do nothing. Let us always come before the throne of God with meekness, with lowliness. That's why it's pillar number one. The pastor has been teaching us in the cascade of events. He expects us in the morning, and the first one is always to judge ourselves. It's to come with meekness, come with humility of heart. I choose to fear God. Meekness, lowliness. I humble myself. Is pillar number one. With that pillar number one, we can now proceed to do all the other pillars, but we must start with mercy. We must start with mercy. And the Pharisee says he went to the temple to pray. And you know, when he was praying with himself, but I started with mercy, then he says, I give of my tithes regularly. Bible says when we give with simplicity. Says us in Romans. Say when we give in simplicity. So as you do pillar number one, with heart with mercy. Even every other thing you do, do it still with a heart of mercy. Do it still looking for the mercy of God. Do as you are doing it, still be depending on mercy. It is mercy that we need for a victorious Christian life. Because once we come with mercy, it gives us life. But with that life, we now have to use that life to get other things done. But even as we are doing it, let us be seeking for mercy. So when you give, give with simplicity. So even though you come with pillar number one, even in the giving, be seeking mercy. Be seeking mercy. It says, I fast twice a week. It is good to fast. It is good to fast. It is appropriate to fast. It is comely to fast. It is out to fast if we are going to grow as Christians. But we come with a heart of mercy. We come with a heart of mercy. So even though the Bible says, I humble myself with fasting, if you come to fasting without humility, then you will not enjoy the humility of fasting. You first come with that heart of mercy, that pillar number one, and you, as you do other things, you also do with heart of mercy. Go to fast. In the fasting, we are seeking for God's mercy, and then we receive the promise of our soul also being humbled with fasting. So that is the importance of doing things first with the heart of mercy. Okay, Bible actually says in Isaiah 58 that this is not the fasting that God approves of, that you are proud about your fasting, that you want everybody to know you are fasting. Those are the kind of fast that we enter in. Not number one first. Not number one. So, brethren, particularly when we come to prayers, when we come before God, when we have a task, let's start with meekness and lowliness of heart. A heart that depends on God. A heart that puts down his own abilities. It's also a heart that confesses one's sin so that one's sin will not start as hindrance to receiving from God. So be it in our sins, be it in our righteousness, we need mercy. And then when we start the endeavor, particularly maybe start the day or be in the place of prayer, let us continue to lean on the mercy of God. As we pray, Bible says, when you pray, believe. That really is saying that when you pray, have a heart of mercy. When you believe, one of the ways Pastor tells us to believe is acknowledging God. And when you acknowledge God, please acknowledge that. Acknowledge, not for acknowledge's sake, but acknowledge that you need Him. As you are praying, you come with meekness and lowliness of heart. As you are praying, you are acknowledging God. Even in the place of prayer, telling Him you need Him. Lord, direct me. Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. That's still mercy in the place of prayer. Remember Jude 1:20. Say, building up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 1:20-21. Looking for the mercy of God on the eternal life. So even in praying, we are seeking for mercy. In praying, we are seeking for mercy. Is this pride, this subtle pride that the enemy puts in, that we can earn everything, or we earn everything that we have? No, that's what the Pharisee was doing. That I earn a status with God because I do this, I do this, I do this. So in the place of his praying, there was no desire for mercy. No, brethren, come to the place of prayer, humble yourself. As you are praying, humble yourself. As you are seeking God, humble yourself. Keep telling God you need him. Keep telling God you need his direction. Keep telling God you need his leading. As you fast, come with humility. As you are fasting, be seeking mercy. And yet you will now find God's humility in fasting. As you give, do it with mercy. As you help others, do it with simplicity, out of mercy, with the heart of charity. So mercy starts. Mercy is within. And we end with mercy. That's why in particular in Scripture Pastoral Christian Center, in the 1 hour phase of prayer, we are also ending with supplication. After the groaning and travail, supplication is a cry for mercy. That I haven't done all the prayers, God, I still need your mercy. Let your mercy get the job done. That is actually a way to, by faith, fulfill Ephesians chapter 3. I think it's verse 20. It says God is able to do exceeding abundantly, more than we ask nor think. Not just for what we ask nor think, more. God is able to do exceeding abundantly. You need to put faith in that scripture. After you have done your praying and your thinking and your seeking God and go, you leave the place, you are ending the place of prayer that God, I have done all what I can do, but you will do exceedingly and abundantly, more than which we ask nor think, according to your power, according to God's power that is at work within us. And one power that is at work within us is the power of humility, is the power of seeking for mercy. It's one of the powers that's at work within us. We start with mercy, we do all we have to do with mercy, and then we end with mercy. We end with supplication. Supplication and thanksgiving. I dare say thanksgiving also can be a way to be, is a way to also seek for mercy. Because why you are thanking God, because you believe that he has answered. You are thanking God, acknowledging that the power is with him and not with you. You are appreciating him because he has all the divine abilities to get the job done. So in a way, you can also turn your thanksgiving to an acknowledgement of mercy, to a celebration of mercy, of what God has done. We cannot stand at the level of the publican alone. God have mercy upon me, but he went back home. No. After we say God have mercy, the mercy of God brings life. That life should now be used to pay. That life should now be used for spiritual work. That life should now be used for spiritual activities to transform us. Should be used for prayer, should be used for fasting, should be used for giving. It's not enough. It is good, but it is not enough to seek for mercy and then go back home. No, it's good to seek for mercy and use the mercy within the temple. But while we are using the mercy within the temple, let's keep acknowledging God and seeking for mercy in our activities in the temple. And when we are finishing the activity, let's acknowledge that all what we've done in the temple with the mercy of God is still not enough. Lord, we need your exceeding and abundant mercy to get the job done. And then we give the Lord thanks in a celebration of mercy that God done it. Because only him can do it. Only him has the divine ability and the divine power to get things done. Pride comes before fall. And one of the devil's subtle ways is in our work, in our exercise, in all our commitments and activities for God, not to seek for mercy. So he reduces our efficiency. We are praying, we are singing, we are fasting, we are preaching, but we are not seeking for mercy. It reduces our activities, the efficiency of our activities. Because the efficiency key, brethren, is the mercy of God. The joker is the mercy of God. But God is plenteous in mercy, always willing to forgive. That is the mercy the publican enjoyed when he came with that prayer. And God says he went home justified. Like I said, there is still more mercy after that. It's of God's mercies that we are not consumed. After we leave that with the publican, let's now receive that mercy to be faithful. That is the step ahead of the publican. Okay? Mercy to be faithful. Mercy to triumph always. So that is the exceedingly and abundantly more than what you ask. Brethren, these are tough times. Tough times in the world. Tough times all over the world. Tough times in the church. We need to be on the wings of mercy. Because mercy will rejoice over judgment. Judgment is coming to the church. Judgment is coming to the world. Let us be on the path of mercy. Mercy give us life. And then let's continue with that life to be faithful. Constantly acknowledging the mercy of God. And that mercy will constantly bring us into faithfulness. And once we continue on that path of faithfulness, let's continue to acknowledge God for mercy. And even when our spiritual activities is over, let's put our joker on the mercy of God. That God will do exceedingly and abundantly more than what you ask. And as when we leave the place of prayer, the answer is going to come from wisdom. Answer is going to come from direction. That's why we continue, even after prayer, to continue the mercy of God. Bible says, with the lowly is wisdom. Many times the answer to prayers come from God's divine wisdom, God's divine direction. So, but once you have finished praying and you go away with pride, you now shut yourself off from the flow of mercy, from the flow of wisdom. Because the wisdom, the direction that God is going to give to answer your prayers, comes from lowliness. So with the lowly, that's humility. Okay, is wisdom. We need that. Many years ago, I thank God for apostolic fathers. And I caught that thing by the grace and mercy of God many years ago. Pastor Louis just said it off in the place of preaching. He said, when he has prayed, in the place of prayer, after you know there are issues in the church, they pray. He said, without that, God, I've done my own. God, please do your own. That is from a premise of submission. That God, I've done mine, but I can't lean on mine. But I have done it because that's what's expected of me to do. But what is expected of God is God will do exceeding and abundantly more than which you have done. That if it's left to what we have done, we don't have the victory. We don't have the sufficiency. But what God will do upon what we have done, that is where the victory will come from. That is where the wisdom will come from. That is where the direction will come from. That is where we shall rejoice. So, brethren, this is my short exhortation for us today, that we need to be at the index of efficiency as Christians, where our efforts will yield great dividend. And by mercy, our efforts will even get better, better, and better. Our praying will get better. Our fasting will be more qualitative. Our giving will get better. Because we are doing it on mercy, more life is coming. We are even doing it better. And as we do it better, the exceeding and abundance, more than which you ask nor think, according to the power that is at work within us, we also get better. To the praise and glory of your name. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace. Precious Holy Spirit, we thank you for your love and help. In Jesus' name, amen. I hand over to Pastor Aldo. Lord,
amen.
Love you, miss
praise
you.
The Lord.
God bless you, all brethren.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We give God the glory. We give God the praise. Well, I'll just round off with a few words. And then if you do have questions, I know Prof has told me that he's online. So he's listening to everything that you have to say as well. And I think he said it all. And if you read that scripture, the last verse of that particular passage is one other thing that caught my eye, which I believe is also a summary of everything that has been said in Luke chapter 18. You know, he talked about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So that's how he starts. Do you enter into a place trusting in your own power, your own experience, or your own victories? or your own success? And then, do you despise others? You know, we started by in the worship by saying, love you forever, loving our brethren, loving our fellow brethren. Do you compare yourself? It goes back to that thing, comparing yourself with others and putting your trust in your own past victories. Or when you got born again, you know, the church that you go, you know, or the name, you know, we do put trust in diverse things. And even Paul said that in Philippians, he said, I count all these things dung for the excellency of our Lord Jesus Christ. Says, two men went up to the temple, and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You also have this place where you come to pray, the presence of God. One, a Pharisee, who we recognize as the spiritual of those days. And another, a tax collector, one who you despise. They didn't like the tax collectors. And both of them were Jews. They didn't really like the tax collectors because the tax collectors used to get money from them. You know, he says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. You know, our prophet was talking about some pray prayers, but some pray the word. This man was praying prayers, quite all right, but wasn't praying the word because he was trusting in himself, trusting in his righteousness, trusting in him or his own self. He says, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. He now started comparing. You see, this thing about comparison, God doesn't like it. You know, because the Bible says that those that compare themselves amongst themselves are not wise. You know, God looks at their hearts. Says that God stands strong on behalf of those that whose hearts, he stands strong on behalf of those whose rights are perfect towards him. They are sheep not of this fold, you know. And the Lord just talked about that. There are people that are not yet Christians, but they obey their conscience. The little light that they have, they let it shine. The little word that they know, they do it, they obey it. How much more some of us that hear these things day in, day out, we have so much knowledge. And let's read on. It says, I'm not like the like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. Can you imagine? It says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to a sinner, to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone, this is the last part of it, which concludes it. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What God is simply teaching us, like Prophet was talking about, is humility. And of course, he talked about something. He said that the first pillar, the Bible says that wisdom has built her house. She has brought up seven pillars so that the house can stand. And we always talk about those seven pillars. He said that the first one is honesty and humility of heart. The second one is praying, you know, praying in the spirit. Many people can pray with all their hearts. The third one, binding the devil. You confess the word. You do your Bible reading. But he said that if you do all those other things and you forget the number one pillar, those other things are nothing. And so his emphasis is the number one thing. You know, even when God was revealing himself to Moses, he said, the Lord God, merciful, loving kind, rich in mercy, loving kind. I'm just saying it, if you can get that scripture in Exodus. So the Lord God, who is merciful. That's the first thing that God starts with. And you see, the emphasis is God. Have mercy. We are not saying that you should have a sense of condemnation. You know, but like Prof rightly said, which I'll advise that we'll go back and listen to, you know that even after you've done all, before you start what you need to start, you know that you need to lean upon God's mercy. It's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. It's not of him that wills, like the Bible says, nor of him that runs, but of God that does what? Shows mercy. And he also said something. He said, because of this world that we live, we hear all this in our self-made men. We hear of men, and we see men and hear men that never acknowledge God, and it seems as if they've made it. I see when they, quote unquote, made it, and when God has had mercy on them without them knowing, they never acknowledge God. So many young people will see this and see that and say, unconsciously, they never think, I need to acknowledge God to even start the journey. They never think in the course of the journey, I need to acknowledge God. And they never think that at the end, I need to recognize God. And so we need to be careful where we, who we source as our mentors, and who we source as our icons and images, and who we look up to. Those people that have done it, it is because of His mercy. Whether they say it or whether they don't say it. And like Pastor always says, and which is very true, there is no self-made man. No. There might be people that you think that they are self-made. They didn't use mercy. But it is because of His mercy they are not consumed. Are we together? Irrespective of who you are, irrespective of who has made it, who has not made it, it is by the mercies of God that we are not consumed. And He said something again. He said, it is not just because of His mercy that we are not consumed, it is because of the mercy that we don't faint. It is because of the mercy that we remain faithful in the course of the journey. And it is because of His mercy that we are victorious. Do we understand? And also Jesus, even looking at the Lord Jesus, Hebrews 5:7, which is one scripture I wrote down, says that the Lord Jesus, and I like that what Prof was saying, you are not throwing away the Pharisee part, the activity part, the prayer part, you know, and you are not throwing away the tax collector part of recognizing the mercy of God. The best is combining the mercy and using the mercy to get the life, the energy and the strength so that your other works will rise up to God as a good sacrifice. And so in Hebrews 5:7, talking about the Lord Jesus, where you see this combination there, he said, in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up what? Prayers and supplications and strong crying and tears. The Bible says that the last sentence, he said, He was heard because He feared. He was heard, another translation says, because of His piety, because of His meekness, because of His humility. He prayed, though. He did that. Because without prayer, like Paul was saying, without intercession, you can never break through some things. You know, you can never be victorious. But the foundation for the prayer to even pass through, for the breakthrough to come, for the prayer to work, is trusting in the mercy of God, fearing God. Is that humility, recognizing that I'm human, I still need you, God. Even when everything is rosy and everything is nice, I still need you, God. Which is the place that quite a number of us fail and miss it. When things become nice, we just think, okay, I've arrived. Never think that you have arrived. Because even Christ, in all His fullness, as human and with all the anointing, in the days of His flesh, when He offered up prayers and strong crying and tears, the prayer part, the fasting part, the Bible says that He was heard because He did what? Because He feared God. Because He was humble. And that's why He Himself said, me. For I am what? Meek and what? Lowly in heart. So you'll find rest for your souls. So in the midst of all the activities, in everything that you do, you'll find rest. You'll find victory. You'll find success. You'll find the reward of doing those things. The reward of prayer will come. The reward of fasting, you'll see it. Why? Because you trust in the mercy of God. So as I'm going to pray, the first thing I ask God for is mercy. When I'm done praying, the first thing I thank God for is mercy. As I go in the course of the activities of the day, as I thank God for is mercy. Before I start my work or before I start reading, God, have mercy on me. Get used to it. It's something that we need to practice. I must agree with you. I must be honest with you. It's something that myself, I'm practicing. Many times you've forgotten. Things are going well. You forget that it's the mercy of God. Do you understand? It's only when there's problem and there's challenge, you start crying, mercy, God, have mercy on me. You know? But even when things are nice, whether be it good or be it not so good, continue to ask God for mercy. You know, recognizing the mercy of God. And so, we'll bow our heads as we pray. The Bible says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I know it's not preached many places. People don't emphasize these things. You know, people emphasize power, you know, anointing, you know, success, victory. Yes, thank God for those things. But the foundation is mercy. The last sentence on that parable, it says, those that exalt themselves, even in your thoughts, those that exalt themselves will be brought down. But those that humble themselves will be exalted. The reason why the Lord just used the tax collector, He deliberately went to that extreme. He's not saying that you should have a sense of self-condemnation. He's saying that you should have a heart that recognizes the importance of mercy, the importance of humility, the importance of being honest, that in myself I can do nothing. If Jesus himself said, in myself I can do nothing, how much more me? Was Jesus lying? Was Jesus trying to be, was he trying to be spiritual? In our minds, when we read those scriptures, we think Jesus is trying to be spiritual, but he was being honest and down to earth. That as man, I'm a man on the earth. I'm a man like every other person. I cannot do this thing by myself. Oh. It takes recognition, it takes revelation, it takes understanding, it takes deep down honesty. That even though I'm anointed, it's because of your mercy. I need your mercy every day. Secular work, I need your mercy. Spiritual work, I need your mercy. Academics, I need your mercy. In my relationships, I need your mercy. I need your mercy. My relationship with you, Father, I need your mercy. Your mercy will lift me from where I am to where I'm supposed to be. Your mercy will give me life. It will give me strength. Good times, I need your mercy. Not good times, I need your mercy. All the time, I need your mercy. Let me get used to asking for mercy. Even if men around me are not using mercy or asking God for mercy, help me to learn to ask you for mercy. Help me to learn to pray for your mercy. Help me to learn to use mercy to be victorious, successful, productive in all other areas, in prayers, in studying of the word, in practice of the word. It is not of him that wills, I will will. It's not of him that runs, I will run. But it is of him that shows mercy, so that my willing and my running will not be in vain. In myself, I can do nothing. Let it not be false humility, but let it be true humility in my life. In prayer, he was heard because he was humble. In the place of prayer and the labor and everything I do, help me to remain humble. That is the lesson. In that parable, the Lord just used the worst kind of human being in their time, the tax collector. And he used what they will call the most spiritual kind of human being in their lives, the Pharisee. Yet, the lesson that he brought out was the truth of recognizing the importance of mercy and being humble, true humility, truly humble, all the time. Let's stand up on our feet as we pray together. Humility. Honesty, genuine honesty, that I cannot do this by myself. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins. Thank you for your word that we've heard this evening concerning mercy to live a victorious Christian life. Lord, it's not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of you that shows mercy. We pray that you will grant us fresh revelation that we need your mercy all the time, to lean upon your mercy, which will give us life, light, understanding, strength, energy, skill, ability, favor with you and with men. Help us to lean upon your mercy in good times, in also good times, in strong times, when we are weak, at all times, so that we will experience victory in every area of our lives. Help us to learn humility and sincerity all the days of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Father Pajakta. Thank you, Lord Joseph Kedeliska. Thank you, Holy Spirit Brakaya. Release your life in Masata Kasheria. Light in Masukto. Strength in Makaya. Mercy. Kedrola Pazotor Pazekte. Rekapatoria Pajekte Dralaska. Help us never to forget your mercy. Help us not to forget your mercy. Help us not to forget your mercy. Make it to Rabazakta. Help us to understand and appreciate your mercy. Help us, Lord God, to lean upon your mercy all the days of our lives. Your words say they will dwell in the house of Lord. Mercy, goodness, and what? Mercy will follow them all the days of their lives, and they will dwell in the house of the Lord when forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen. Praise the Lord.